You got your bearings now? You said,
wait a minute,
let me get my bearings straight.
Well, so you know, you got to get my thoughts together. That's just a way to say that, you know. And so you got your Halloween plans all in place, Jeff? Doing trick or treating this year, are you?
Not opposed to it, but no, we don't do it either. Or Teresa and I don't, but Yeah, you caught me off guard with that one. I wasn't ready to answer.
Didn't see that coming, did you?
Listening to the Field
Brothers. So is this our
show?
Halloween edition of the Field Brothers show? Not sure we've ever had a Halloween edition before. So
I don't know. Maybe it will be. I'm Roger Fields. I'm with Jeff Fields. We're brothers. We're in Central Kentucky, and we talk about whatever. You know, just what things that we talk about or comes across our minds. I'm stumbling about the grace of God, life on this side of the cross, sometimes happenings going on in our lives, and maybe even about the holidays. You know, who knows? Maybe we'll be able to touch on Halloween. So anyway, Jeff, what's going on?
A couple little things before we get into the real transformative podcast gold that we always share. But before,
did you know how many downloads we've had now? Did you see this?
I don't keep up with that number, no.
Okay, then I'm not going to tell you. No. If you're not interested, why should I tell you? I mean, you know.
Wasn't there some of the Old Testament about someone got in trouble for counting their...
Their podcast? No, I don't think so.
I know that it's not about their podcast, but counting their army or...
Yeah, their armies, like when God told David?
I don't know.
That it didn't matter because God was going to take care of them. Not the same thing as counting your... podcast downloads.
I mean, honestly, I occasionally see other podcasters talk about, okay, we've had so many, and it just kind of like, well, okay, that's nice, but I mean, it just seems a little bit.
Okay, I'm not gonna tell you then. All right,
that's fine with it. I mean, I know how to check, so I can check anytime.
Email. I don't check either, but I got an email just saying that we've now downloaded 100,000 podcasts.
Just couldn't resist, could you? Well, good. So, what do we get for that?
We get the knowledge of knowing that we've downloaded 100,000 podcasts. I don't know. I'm just like, I just thought it was interesting. I'm not saying it's a milestone. I'm not saying it's something to, we don't have a plaque on order about it or anything. Just, you know, I mean.
Well, we enjoy doing this. It's been fun. And so hopefully we'll keep doing this for a while.
Well, it's not always fun. Sometimes it's fun.
Most of the time. Almost all the time it's fun. You did catch me a little off guard last time, but let's move on from there.
So, all right.
Okay, I need to say something about the retreat, because we are coming right up on the very first ever inaugural. What other words could go in there to say the same thing? Can be redundant.
See, I see people saying stuff like that, too. That kind of turns me off when I see.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, big old, yeah, whatever. All right, tell us about your big highfalutin retreat.
So the Fields Brothers retreat coming up very soon. This podcast comes out. We're recording this pretty close to when this one comes out. So today is Saturday, the 28th of October. So this will come out tomorrow on the 29th. And just about a week and a half away is a retreat in Seymour, Tennessee. We've had a few late additions and a few late subtractions to those coming. So right now we're 25-ish. Somewhere in there. What are you smirking about?
I mean, you're throwing out numbers. Didn't some guy in the Old Testament get in trouble for that?
Boy, you're sensitive.
All right. So, whatever.
So we do have room for more. So if anyone wants to email me, jeff@thefieldsbrothers.com, I can pass along the address. And so Phelim Doherty, picking him up at the airport a week from tomorrow night, and looking forward to that. And if all goes well, looking for Monday afternoon, probably mid-late afternoon, to bring him and maybe his wife come with him.
Well, complete that sentence. If all goes well, what? I mean.
That's what I just said. If all goes well, we'll come out. We'll bring him out to here.
Oh, okay. I thought you were getting ready.
Early mid-afternoon, right, okay. To record one or two podcasts with us. And so this will be the last. So next time we record, you know, we record two at a time typically. So next time we record, he will be around this table with us. So looking forward to that. I think we talked about this
before. Him better in a podcast than you do me. I hope you treat him with a little more respect and dignity. I'm just saying, you know.
I think our podcast listeners know who's the more respectful one.
Oh, bro, okay.
But anyway, you got me off a train of thought then. So then the retreat.
You don't have your bearings, do you?
Tuesday,
you lost your bearings.
Tuesday through the 7th through Thursday the 9th, Tuesday evening through Thursday morning. Just some informal conversations at someone's home, Gracious Host home in Seymour, Tennessee. And I think I mentioned before where I was going, before you interrupted me, that you know, hopefully you'll come down and bring the podcast equipment with you. I'd really like to be up for us to record at least one podcast there in front of a a live studio audience of 20 some people. That would be fun.
How many people we think?
It's not, it's less than 100,000. Okay. So it's less than the number of downloads we've had. So, so you're still thinking you can come down or at least make a cameo at some point?
Yeah, I'm making a real attempt at it. I'm a highly sought after real estate professional in Jasmine County.
But you're mobile too. You can do, everything.
So, I mean, probably be able to do it.
You can do everything by remote, pretty much, can't you? So, okay. So that's
not everything by remote.
Well, almost everything. Yeah. So, retreat coming up. And so, the other thing, this is kind of off topic, but I know I'm not on the cutting edge of technology and things like that.
You're not even on the edge. Some of the cutting edge. You're not even on the dull edge.
Kind of right in the middle, huh?
Yeah. Okay.
But, I mean, I've known forever about, I mean, not forever. I've known for a long time about Spotify. Are you? Okay. And are you on Spotify?
No, I don't use it. I know what it is.
But, there's different streaming music things. Yeah, and I've always had the free version, where you got to put up with commercials and you can't listen to just anything anytime you want to and all this stuff. And, so we bit the bullet a couple of weeks ago. We signed up for the premium version. Now we are now paying. We actually got the family version, so we're paying like $16 a month. But I am loving it.
Really?
I mean, no commercials. You can search anything you want to search. I mean, I've known how the technology works. I know you can search this stuff out.
Do you do mostly music or what?
Yeah, I do pretty much all music now. But get different. So on the way out here, I'm gonna, and you can create your own playlist. So I'm gonna create a playlist of kind of like classic contemporary Christian music from 70s and 80s is what I consider classic contemporary Christian music. So on the way out here today, I think you'll recognize these. I listened to a little bit Sweet Comfort Band. Remember them?
Yeah, I mean, I never listened to them a whole lot.
I listened to Andrews Blackwood and Company. Remember them?
Yeah.
I listened to Benny Hester. Remember Benny Hester?
Yeah.
So there. But, I mean, it's just fun to kind of relive my college days and all that and then and not have to put up with commercials and then create a playlist that I can just put on at any time and listen to those. And all of a sudden I'm back in Williamson Hall in Joplin, Missouri.
Oh,
those
boy.
Are Bible college living the dream. So, but anyway,
right.
I've enjoyed that. So,
well, okay. All right, Jeff, I'm glad that you've been able to bring that bit of pleasure to your life. And,
so free commercial.
I heard something the other day. Now, maybe I'm late to the party. Maybe you've heard this before, but I thought this is a great point. I'd never thought of this. I've always been a little irritated with the fact that sometimes to do evangelism, you always got the issue to come up, well, how do you believe the earth is? Do you believe the young earth, 6,000 years? And that's such a big, big deal in so many sectors of Christianity, which I find a really boring question because I don't know. I'm not required to be a scientist to be a believer in Jesus, I mean, I don't, but and then somebody said, well, and I'm going somewhere with all this.
Oh,
but
that's good.
Yeah, good. So going somewhere possibly profound, but we'll see. And somebody told me, a long time ago, I heard that, even when God created the earth, he didn't create it. He created with age built in, you can't create a new rock, right? I mean, didn't that,
probably not.
I mean, you can't do analysis on a rock and say, oh, when was this rock formed? I think it was be last Thursday. I mean, a rock is old when you get your hands on it. Okay. Well, so somebody pointed out, well, when Adam, was created, he was one day old. He wasn't a baby.
Yeah, I've heard that.
He
before.
Was created right. with a, age. He had age right. built into
adult.
Him.
Adult. He was created as an adult.
Yeah, so he had age built in. So maybe the earth had age built in when it was created. So I thought that was a pretty simple point. I like that point. So
I actually heard that about 30, 40 years ago.
I knew I was probably late on that one. But anyway, I thought it was good.
That reminds me of, have you seen the things about, I think it's Himalayan salt. You can buy it at grocery stores.
Oh, yeah, we got Himalayan salt, yeah.
And it says it's like how many millions and millions of years old, but then it has an expiration date on it.
That is pretty funny. I didn't know they said it was millions of years old. I don't know what the point of Himalayan salt is.
You know, so many years old and an expiration date, December 2nd. It's kind of like, whoa, found that just in time.
Wow.
So anyway.
Okay.
A few little random thoughts here. I heard someone say something about the Lord's Prayer that I never noticed before, and I don't know if there's what significance there is or not. So I'm not saying it's a life changing thing, but someone pointed, and I know the Lord's Prayer is part of the Sermon on the Mount and the Law and all that. But all that aside, it just pointed out that the Lord's Prayer, the statements in the Lord's Prayer are imperatives, not requests. It's
okay. Give me an example.
Thy kingdom come. It's not.
Please bring your kingdom. It's
a command. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done.
Well, it's not a command. It would be just a declaration, isn't it?
Well, imperative declaration. Yeah, either way, whatever. I mean, but just not a request.
Yeah, it's not a request. I heard that a long time ago.
It's, no, you didn't. But just the idea that, you know, it's more of a declaration of faith type of thing as opposed to request. But anyway, I thought that was kind of
kingdom come. You talk,
thy will be done. You know, forgive us our debts as we forgive. You know, forget the actual topic of forgiveness. Yeah. I understand that before the cross and after the cross. But, you know, forgive us our debts. It's not really even a request.
Yeah, give us this day our daily bread. Please give us this day.
Right, right. I mean, they're all kind of imperative proclamations. They're not requests. So, you can take that to wherever you want to from there.
Okay. Well, since I do want to talk about I'm going to bring this up again later on, a little bit about the holidays, because that's always such a big, big deal to people. When you get into the holiday season, is whether or not you should be celebrating, particularly Halloween and Christmas. You know, I'll tell you what, of all the holidays we have, there's only one that really has a really pristine, super clean, well, maybe two, if you call it July 4th, but Thanksgiving. I mean, that has a great origin. Well, to some people it's controversial, but it's got a very good, to me, a very wholesome, good, godly origin. Everything else, a little spotty, you know, a little sketchy there, you know. But, and I'll say this, I say this every year, but I'm going to say it again because it keeps coming up on social media. Yeah, people, first of all, go after Christmas. You know, what do you think about the fact that Christmas was a pagan holiday? Well, number one, I have two responses to that now. I used to tell you I only have one response. I have two responses. Number one, I like the fact that Christmas originally was a pagan holiday to the sun god, and that we hijacked the pagan holiday and turned it into something good. They didn't know even then the exact date of Christ's birth, and so they said, we'll just make that the time we celebrate the birth of Christ. I like that.
You realize the irony of the fact that you're talking about this right now? The one who is so opposed to holiday, what was our term we used to use?
I'm not decorating. Holiday, I'm just discussing the holiday.
What was the term we used to say?
People against holiday overlapping.
There's some other word too, overlapping. And here you are at the end of October talking about Christmas. So,
but I'm working my way into all the holidays. Okay, had to hit them all. So anyway, because it's already come up, you know. And then secondly, almost everything that we acknowledged on the calendar has a pagan root. The days of the week were named after Greek gods. Let me see what else. I had some other things. You know, birthday cakes. You have a birthday cake? That has a pretty checkered past. That was the Greek gods used to put candles on cakes to worship the god Artemis. And then the Germans really made a big deal in the 18th century where they did start doing it for kids. But, I mean, that is a bad past. Yawning, cover your mouth when you yawn. Well, you know why you do that? Now, there could be, you know, a biological reason we don't want to yawn on people. But if you're by yourself, even a lot of times, you'll cover your mouth because we didn't want the evil spirits going in or out, you know, your mouth.
Of course not.
That was, you know, that was not a, you know, I mean, that has a weird history.
It's so like anyway, we just are so quick to find things to be against and to be able to make ourselves feel better that we're not doing those things. And just, we're always trying to, you know, basically ways to divide people, you know, divide this group from that group.
Well, and I'm leading up to something with that too. Okay. So, but anyway, there's a lot of stuff like that. The, you know, the months, I mean, everything has some kind of, a lot of our stuff comes out of Greek.
Oh yeah.
And Roman
mythology and all
mythology
that.
And just culture.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, for sure.
And so, you know, so just relax. Now, I don't like my term on this yet, so I'm going to find a better term. Right now, I'm just calling it micro sins. But there's the thing. It's always irritated me that, you know, how can you believe that Jesus came to this earth, died for you, rose again, made you a new creation? It's by grace through faith. But if you do one of a select few things on a list, all that gets negated.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. For instance, and for some people, it's if you celebrate Christmas or Halloween. Okay. Another one would be if you slip up and you get microchipped with the 666. That was always blow my mind. You know, you can be a born again believer, but somehow or another, if you didn't understand that microchip relates to 666 in the book of Revelation, and you get the microchip, then you're out of the kingdom of God, or you get marked some other way. Yeah.
It's fascinating how that 666, of how, I don't know about younger people, but at least for people our age, how universal
Oh yeah,
knowledge of that. Oh, so yeah. The other day in my work, someone's needing to take some money out of their IRA, and he was needing to like take $50,000 after taxes. So I said, okay, what percentage federal do you want to have? And I don't remember if it was 50, but some number. So I did the math. Okay, to after tax, to gross that, what do you gross that up? Okay, that means your gross distribution before tax needs to be. And I even said, well, this is an interesting number. I said 66,666. He immediately says, oh, we're not doing that.
Oh, I know. Isn't that funny?
Yeah, and everyone kind of jokes about
it's
it.
Like, yeah. I mean, isn't that funny? You know, I mean, but these are like little micro things that if you just didn't understand that these are so evil. Like if you ever used a Ouija board. If you're a member of the Masonic, and I'm not a big fan of a lot of this stuff, but member of the Masonic Lodge, you ever did yoga, meditation. I'm just saying there's all kinds of little things, and everybody has a separate list, a different list of things that you can do that are so bad, so evil, that they're going to negate what Jesus did for you on the cross and through his resurrection.
So you're saying that people would think that would cause someone to...
Some people do.
Off from God eternally.
Oh, yeah, some people do. Oh, yeah. Oh, well, the 666 for sure. People believe that because it says if you take the mark, you know, you have no part. So, I mean, it's just.
Yeah, this reminds me a little bit. I can't remember. Tell me if I already mentioned this a few weeks ago, but something I heard Bruce Walkup mention a couple months ago when I was listening to some of his stuff in terms of the occult. And he pointed out that there is no separate power pack in the universe. I mean, all power belongs to God. Mm-hmm. And that makes sense. And we sometimes think Satan and the occult has this separate power pack that they figured out how to use. And Satan has his own power pack. No, Satan has no power pack of his own. Right. And so basically now there are occult things that are not good.
He's a liar, but he's not powerful.
But those are basically said they're using, and I think I like this. He said basically they're using the power of Christ without love. Using the power of Christ to control and things like that, not love. But there's not some separate, I mean, all power is God's with them. So anyway.
Right. And I love the fact there's a prophecy, I believe it's in Isaiah, where it talks about that one day they'll look upon the one who's deceived the earth. It seems like it's talking about Satan, and they'll say, is this the man who deceived the nations? They'll see him as a dead man. I mean, you know, so anyway, yes, there's no question that Satan has inflated his ability.
Have you ever, you know, those, I remember a long time ago, you know, we were taught growing up, you know, Satan was Lucifer, he fell, the angel, and there was something, you know, like this one verse out of Isaiah and one other verse. And then later on, maybe it was when I was in Bible college, I got looking at those verses and thinking, and I remember thinking, I mean, without anybody else telling me, I thought, is that all there is? Is that where we got this concept?
Yeah, it's not clear. It's not clear. No, it's not.
I think it's highly suspicious.
Yeah.
That whole thing of that, can't remember the term there it's used. I think it's in Isaiah 7, the shining one or whatever.
There's one is Ezekiel and one is Isaiah. Yeah, I'll bring it to you.
Yeah. I'm not sure either one of those. But, I think our whole theology on Satan may be totally messed up. But
I've said that. How many times have I said that? I think it's completely messed
44,
up. I think so. Yeah. Something. I'm not counting because we don't believe in numbers, but I think it was 44.
Yeah, numerology, yeah.
But you know, here's the thing about Halloween. Halloween originally was not a celebration of the devil. It was a celebration of death, or not celebrate. It was an acknowledgement of death. It was a time of, they believe, you know, the harvest was the end of the harvest.
When Martin Luther nailed his, that was right around.
Yeah. Okay.
I guess
yeah,
it was unrelated, but that was. I always think of the, always tied the two events.
And so it wasn't until really way later that some Satanists got a hold of it and said, hey, let's just make this our day. But originally it came from the Celtics. They didn't have a great past, and they had some festival called Samhain, and that's weird. It's spelled Samhain, but it's pronounced Samhain, which, you know, it's a weird pronunciation of that. But, and so they were all into, you know, doing some weird stuff, and, you know, they would basically get drunk, have drunken parties in celebration of the end of the harvest, and, you know, anyway. But it wasn't primary. The point is, it wasn't a celebration of Satan in its original thing. It was just kind of a dumb celebration of death.
There's a lot of things to get us distracted. A lot of rallying points, a lot of banners out there to get under that I think kind of distract us from the good news of Jesus Christ.
Well, it's like, you know, we would say Satan doesn't have any power, but he is pretty good at lying and distracting. And when you can get people to believe that some little things like that, like you got the wrong holiday, you're celebrating wrong, that somehow negates the power of what Jesus has done for us is really amazing. It speaks to the fact that we don't believe really, anything really happened on the cross. We don't really believe that really, anything really happened with the resurrection. It's kind of a nice story, but it's really all about our performance and what we do. And boy, if we mess up with one of these little holidays or activities inadvertently, without even realizing it, then in some groups, you're out. How dumb.
I think, you know, you paint the cross. I think there's two major areas that we miss. And one is that we don't realize why that cross. But I think we also mess up even before then of God's view of the world to begin with. Mm-hmm. I think we see God as, and I've got a, let me go ahead and bring that up. A quote by Jamie Englehart. I like listening to some of his stuff occasionally on YouTube and all that, but follow him on Facebook. I wrote down or copied down a little bit of what he posted the other day. And it occurred to me, you know, we almost never have guests. Now, next time will be an exception with Phelan. A lot of podcasts have guests all the time. And there's some good podcasts. And that's how I've learned about some other
Jeff, I hate to break this to you, but there's not too many that even want to be on our podcast. They've heard it and they said, nah, I don't think so. We'll just pass. Surely not.
You know?
No, we don't invite very many people.
But anyway, so I think you probably agree with this. I tend to quote other people. You rarely quote other people in terms of other teachers or theologians and things like that. I do a lot more of that than you do.
Oh, I do. I just don't attribute it to them. I just say,
So instead of having guests, I just quote other people. But anyway, I'm not going to read the whole quote here, but follow here and see what you think. So this is Jamie Englehart, and he starts out and said, this also needs to be repeated often. Nearly all salvation theology / soteriology, that's theology of salvation, hinges on how we think God views mankind. If we think God has a negative opinion of mankind and is angry and wrathful towards us, then we will try to solve this problem judicially, which is most of Western evangelicalism. If we think God has a positive opinion of mankind and sees all as his offspring and family and that he is the father of all, we will think it's hard to do something to change God's opinion of anyone. And points out normally what gets quoted, I mean, one of the very first verses I think you and I learned, Romans 3, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands, there is none who seeks God. You learned that pretty early on, none righteous, no, not one. But he goes on, he says, the problem is the context, and it is speaking about the Jews and Gentiles all being under sin. He goes on, and it says, it also contradicts a bunch of verses that say there are men who seek after God. And he quoted a whole bunch, but
so what's his point?
Genesis 6, you know, it says that Noah was a righteous man. I mean, so we kind of got talking about two different things here. But, you know, in terms of, okay, got that verse in Romans says there is none righteous, no, not one. That sounds pretty all-encompassing, doesn't it? But then Genesis says Noah was righteous. And then
you're comparing the Hebrew word righteous with the Greek word there.
No. So anyway, in 2 Peter, okay, so still Greek, he says Lot was righteous. John the Baptist's parents, it says they were righteous. And so there's a lot of people that are called righteous throughout the Bible, but yet Romans 3 says there is none righteous, no, not one. Basically what Jamie Englehart is saying here is that's not an all-encompassing, all-humanity statement. He's talking about when it comes to Jewish law, when it comes to trying to be righteous by the law, there's none righteous, no, not one. But so we just talked about how people think of God's view of us really affects, you know, we tend to view God as a Zeus and he's mad at the whole world. And then that affects our theology and things like that.
So what are you saying? I mean, so we are already righteous without Jesus. I mean, what do you draw from that?
Well, that God sees us all as that he's not opposed to any, you know, not counting our sins against us. We quote that verse a lot of times in 2 Corinthians 5. That he does see, and we talked a little bit about this lately in different views, wasn't necessarily getting into all this, but that he, you know, sees everybody as his children and not as he's not our enemies of anybody.
That's one I think we disagree on. I when it says like in 1 John 3, see what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called the children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it does not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. I mean, it sounds like it's talking to believers and drawing the distinction between believers and unbelievers. You don't see it that way?
Well, there are people who believe and don't believe. I think the unbelievers just don't know they're children of God. Now, that doesn't mean... Well, I mean, it doesn't say otherwise either. I mean, it doesn't say your point either, but just the idea that...
Well, it says they do not know him. We are God's children, you know.
Yeah, they don't know him. Yeah, they don't know that they're God's children. So if anything, that would... you know, so, but anyway, the idea of in the broader picture, what I was bringing up here, that God's view of us, that really affects. And he says something I think you'd really like. He ends it with this. He says, we believe all sorts of things about ourselves. Cause this, he's going to say something reminds me of a point you made a few months ago. He says, what the gospel does is confront our version of our story with God's version of our story. So think about that. You know, you talked about the story in our heads.
We play in our head, the loop that goes
on. So he says,
head.
What the gospel does is confront our version of our story with God's version of our story. That's good, though. Don't you like that?
I do like that. I had to ponder that some.
The story that goes in our head is, I'm not good enough. I'm not sufficient. I'm not this. I'm not that. I'm not worthy, or I'm not lovable, whatever. I'm guilty. I'm forgiven. But the gospel's version is a different story of that than what plays in our head.
All right, so how do you handle? Okay, how much time we got? Wait, we're about.
We do not have time to get into this.
I saved by the clock there. But all right. All right. Well, you know. So all I'm saying is I'm not a total big fan of everything that goes on Halloween and some of the other stuff, but if you want to take your kid around as a little hobo or something and get free candy, I'm all in. Does that make sense?
Yeah, fine. We last few years we've got candy ready, and we've had a couple years in a row where nobody came by our house.
Well, so you know what we do now? We go to spooky time. You know what that is?
I do not know what that
is. Spooky time is when a bunch of people go to Main Street in Nicholasville, and they set up tables with candy and all that. Individuals can do it. Businesses can do it. And people just bring their kids downtown. You can walk down Main Street.
I knew a lot and of towns do that, different places do them. So,
yeah. So I'm going to spooky time. I'm sitting at my real estate table at spooky time and giving away candy to kids.
You're not setting up a Fields Brothers table?
I don't have a Fields Brothers tablecloth, I don't think, do we?
You got a sign right over there. It says the Fields Brothers show. You can take
A sign. Yeah, I need something. I need a table. This is a fitted tablecloth. This looks classier than just a sign.
Okay.
So anyway. All right. So, well, there you have it.
I'll end with this for you while we're fading out here. I thought this was a good quote, another quote here. Bill Vanderbush says, faith grows if you master this three-word sentence. You ready, Roger?
I'm ready.
I'm going to give you a three-word sentence to master if you want your faith to grow. The three-word sentence is, I don't know. It's the idea that when we recognize that we have a lot to learn, a lot for the Holy Spirit to show us, then we can say, you know, open my eyes. And when we say, I don't know, then that allows, I think that gives room for the Holy Spirit to open our eyes to things we haven't seen in our faith.
I think I like that. So, I'll ponder that one. Yeah. All right.